welcome to Captain Crank Podcast, guys. We have a special guest here. We have Chad from Hookup Bits.
Hey, what's up?
And JoJo from Hookup Bits.
Hello.
We got the owners on, and we get to talk all about their bait this episode and how everything started, you know, what type of setup to use on their bait. They got a lot of really cool pointers for people that do fish hookup baits. They got some cool rigs to try out, and I guess we're going to start out with a couple questions.
So we heard Chad's story about how he started fishing. How about you, JoJo?
Great question. I come from three generations of fishing, and my grandma and grandpa had a summer home in San Felipe. So every summer we would go there and just every day fish. And grandpa had a boat down there, and we didn't know anything different. You just got up, you went fishing, you came back, and you might ride some horses. I mean, whatever the day was for the next 3 months. And so we would do that every summer. And
that's awesome.
We also lived in Yuma, Arizona, so the Colorado River was right there. Yeah. My mom and grandma did a lot of tournament fishing. And then we'd go also to the White Mountains for trout fishing.
Okay. So, I mean, with the company, how do you get started with hookup baits? Or
That's yours.
You know, I've been fishing tube jigs since I was 15 years old. You know, it's out Prado Park with the boys in the neighborhood, throwing the rooster tails and the cast masters and the, you know, Velveeta cheese and catching trout. I mean, we caught trout, but then we met this guy just killing him, you know, and he was a loud and funny guy and, you know, gave us some jigs and told us how to use them. And this guy, name was John Bill, owner of Crappie John Finger Jigs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, when I was 14 years old, maybe, and really been fishing tube jigs ever since, you know, 30 plus years of fishing jigs. And he made saltwater jigs also, freshwater and saltwater. And so we used them both in for trout and saltwater. And through this, the years, you know, John Bill passed away when I was in my mid-20s or so. And then, you know, I pro staffed for different little jig companies here and there throughout the few years. And and just nobody else made saltwater jigs after that. And then just by fishing jigs, they caught everything in freshwater. I already knew how they worked in saltwater, but I just knew different actions and different look and different profile of the jig, how it would get bit better. And and that's just, I had the ideas of hookup baits in my head for 5 years before I ever made one. Just, you know, just I knew what it needed to be and I knew what the action needed to be, you know, just studying fish. All, you know, like my favorite thing to do is sight fish. You know, that's a lot of trout.
Whose
fishing.
Isn't, man?
Yeah.
Hey, when you get on those beds with bass, man, and
bass
you see
beds,
you know,
trout,
like,
you know, a lot of trout fishing, a lot of Clear Lake trout fishing in the Sierras. We did a ton of fishing up in the Sierras, and that's my favorite thing was sight fishing. You know, and seeing how they react to a bait, and you know what makes them react, and the way they react, and everything else. And so I really studied that through, you know, a lifetime of fishing.
Yeah.
How fish react and what makes them react and stuff. And so I knew what a bait needed, you know, to incorporate as an action and look to make them react. And that's basically went into the design of hookup baits, you know, so.
Yeah.
And it's a ton of swimming pool time and fishing in swimming pools.
Yeah. I was going to say my kids, I took them to the Pacific Coast Sport Fishing show last year. And, you know, they have that trout, the pool. And so this was the last day. And, like, my son, he was, like, dead set on catching a trout, you know, using the mouse tails and stuff. And, I mean, they've been in there for, what, 3 days now?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they would grab the tail or whatever, and it was slow. So they let him fish on it for, like, 45 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So this kid comes up with his dad, and he has the little, the, what are they?
Second, one 32nd probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, can we put this on? He was catching fish after fish.
Oh, yeah.
And like my son's just like, what's going on?
And you know, even if there's a lot of hate too, and even you love or hate, you guys just stuff catches fish, man. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's the truth be told. My dad and my kids, I got to take, so my dad never fishes. My uncle was in a bass club, so he fishes all the time. And we would go fishing all the time. So my dad's like, hey, I want to go fishing. So I take him to Huntington Harbor. And I'm like, okay, I got to put him on fish. This is the goal. You know, like I tried, you know, all kinds of different lures. I had some hookup baits. I gave some to my son. Mm-hmm. I gave some to my dad. My dad started catching fish. He's like, I can't believe I'm catching fish. Oh, yeah. I've been with my brother so many times. I catch crap, you know, mm-hmm. like, and it works. I'm going to tell you that if you want to catch fish, use hookup baits. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you that. Like, I agree with you 100%.
They are easy to use.
Yeah.
And we hear stories like that over, yeah. I mean, almost daily, and they never get old. Yeah. We love hearing them. But yeah, they are a simple bait to use.
Very simple bait to use.
And it's a thing. People look at it and it just looks so simple, but it's really not so simple. There are so many little details that I put into this bait. Is what makes it do that magic. You know, that's what makes it get bit, you know, and if you don't have a lifetime of fishing, kind of, you know, like I did, just lifetime of fishing. I just didn't fish ever since, I mean, for the last 25 years, if mm-hmm. I didn't go fishing and didn't learn something that day, I feel like I, you know, totally failed, and just that studying fish and how they react and what makes them react and what baits work and what is in a bait that makes it work and all that stuff. I just, you know, 25 years of that is what, this bait is made out of, you know. So it's just, you know, a lot of people, most people go fishing, they go fishing. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. It's just the way I'm wired. It's just, I go fishing to learn something new.
Yes.
Something different, something that's going to give me that edge, you know. That, and I've been doing that since a young age. So
Definitely.
And it's the hookup baits is full of those little details that.
Time on the water, right?
That people don't see. Time on the water is
time
everything.
On the water, yeah.
Yes. So you mentioned like details and stuff in the bait. Do you have like a patent on it or?
Yeah. We, you know, once we made the bait, it started working even better than I ever imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, JoJo is, you know, the half manager of Hookup Bait. She's the brains behind it. And she's like.
Half CEO.
Yeah. She's. Yeah. And when we met, it was a. Yeah, she came up. The story behind of Hookup.
Hey, it went from she awesome. Came up to you to I came up to you. Right now. I mean, she didn't fumble around, Chad.
Like I said, I had the story of Hookup Baits in my head for many years. And, you know, I was doing, like we're just talking, I was doing the surveillance business.
Uh-huh.
And I started dating JoJo. She was down here in San Diego. I was living in Riverside. And as Elsinore School District was mm-hmm. one of my accounts, and middle of summer changing out cameras on top of a high school, middle of
nice
summer,
and hot,
110 degrees,
sweating your butt off, pulling
everything
through
you touch burns you, you know. And so, and then straight from Elsinore, I'd drive to San Diego to spend the weekend with her, and we went out, you know, country line dancing. I do a lot of that, and so we were at a country bar, and we just, you know, started talking and. Telling her about what a screwed up day I had and how miserable it was and how I'm totally over that career I've been doing since high school. And she says, what do you want to do for a living? And what I haven't told her a bit, you know, I was a single guy for a couple of years and I don't take a lot of money to live. And so I was actually researching, trying to line up being a guide, a full-time guide, like mm-hmm. a trout guide in Montana, mm-hmm. Colorado during the summer and going to Florida or Mexico. To work at resorts as a guide full time. That's what I was looking to do. And so I told her, oh, I'm looking to fish for a living. That's basically, you know, before I met you, that's what I'm looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she says, why don't you come to San Diego and become a guide? And I'm like, oh, San Diego is kind of a tough gig for that. They don't have like resorts like New Mexico and everything else where you could just be part of a resort and be a guide for a resort kind of thing. You know, San Diego, you have to have your own boat, your own guide license, your own, you know, it's a whole other thing. And try to market yourself. And plus, I didn't know San Diego waters that well enough.
Yeah.
So that's a hard thing. And then all of a sudden, something just clicked in my head. And I looked her straight in the eyes and I said, you know what? I can make the best bait that's ever been made, though. And she looks at me and she goes, really? Yeah, I got the ideas in my head. I can make a better lure that's ever been made.
Now, did you already have a prototype made by then?
No. Prototype, no nothing.
Just said, hey,
just the design
in my head. I'm gonna make the best bait ever.
Yeah, the designs and the thought in my head.
But it was the way he looked at me. I mean, it was clear. It was very assured that he knew he could do this.
Right in the middle of the electric slide, you guys were like, "Hey, is that bait?"
That's funny. Almost. It was actually it's
drinking some natty ice.
Yeah, it's a Moonshine Flats in downtown San Diego. That's where Hookup Baits was thought of, mm-hmm. where it was born. And so she goes, "Really?" I go, "Yeah." Yeah, I've had ideas in my head.
Yeah.
If I know what a bait needs to be to work better in anything. And I just never had this chance to make one. And she goes, huh, well, JoJo's owns a successful financial planning practice. And she's like, well, my business is kind of on cruise control. I got it handled. I got some extra time. And I love making businesses. Let's do this. I'll handle the business part of it. And you make and design your lure and promote it.
Wow. Hey. Yeah. You scored, bro. Yeah.
I was like, she was already at the top of the list. That just right there. Like, boom.
The top of the list. Yeah. What a jerk.
It's amazing how I moved up really quickly. Ladies, I know how to get a man.
Start a business.
Yeah. Yeah. Give him a green light on his dream. Yeah. That would get him every time. And yeah. So I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. You know,
yeah.
Okay. And at this time, I lived in a little studio apartment, or like a granny house, I guess, a house behind a house, and there was a swimming pool right out the back door of it. Yeah, one of those kind of pads. It was a perfect bachelor pad. It was awesome. And so on the way home from San Diego, I stopped by Walmart and bought a bunch of fold-out tables and stuff, and I got home and I ordered lead and plastic and melters and molds, and I mean, and I turned that studio apartment into a, or studio granny house into a laboratory, you know, and it was, and at this time my business was kind of on the winding down. Like, I had Elsinore School District I just had to take care of. And so I was able to, I just didn't make no sales that month, just took care of whatever sales, service I had to.
Yeah.
And so I was, you know, 8 to 12 hours a day for 5 days a week for 2 months straight designing hookup baits, you know, pouring different bodies and different cuts with different heads.
And the enjoyment out of that is like,
oh, that was one of the coolest things I've ever made in my life.
I made one fluke, and I fished with my buddy John that owns Whack'em Baits. And we fished it, and I remember getting bit. Me and him were out, and I remember landing my first bass and being like, oh, my God. My son landed a three-pounder on my bait, three-pound sound bass, and it was like, oh, but having the time to do that, like, as if you're not doing a company,
it's
like
consuming for
this
sure,
is all I'm doing is a podcast. Me and Justin is like, we're just doing the podcast. I love getting, making baits, but just having the time. But
it's amazing.
I mean, I could appreciate the enjoyment of making the bait. It's like,
well,
man, there's nothing like
the excitement. He would call me during the week and he was so excited. And it was a totally different voice than I'd heard before. So you could just hear, you know, I can't wait to show you this weekend and we'll test it out and see if it works. And so he would come for the
weekend. It's crazy, I'm sure. And I, was,
I mean, like, just imagine having an idea of what something needs to be. I was very specific.
Oh, I hear you 100%.
I knew what it needed to be and just working and getting closer and closer and closer to that thing. You know, it's the whole thing was the sink. You know, it's if you have a bait that gets bit on the sink, just as good as on the retrieve, every bait in the world gets bit on the retrieve. You know, there's very few that
get bit on the sink. Yeah.
You make one that gets bit on both.
Yeah.
It's going to.
Which makes it easy for the average
anybody can use
person
to you throw it out and let it sink.
And it works, man.
So, I mean, I spent a lot of time fishing, throwing in that swimming pool, you know, and then I had the owner come out and you know, here, cast this in the swimming pool and put a mask on and watch it sink and, you know, and everything else.
And, you got your GoPro under the water looking at
it. And then, you know, every weekend I'd come down to San Diego with whatever I made that week, and me and JoJo would go fishing somewhere and we start catching fish on it.
Yeah.
And actually, I would have her, like, throw gulp stuff, you know, just to test. Okay, you cast this and I'm going to throw my bait.
Yeah, of course.
Which one's catching more kind of thing. We did that for months, and it just kept on getting better and better. And then finally I moved down to San Diego with her, and the house she has had a basement area.
Mm-hmm.
And I started in the basement and just started making baits in the basement. And
then
started getting better quality and making them better and better. And we've seen how they were catching. And I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, holy crap, we got something here.
Yeah.
This is working. I knew it was only going to get better as
definitely.
We keep making them. And so, you know, I was expressing to JoJo, these are special.
Yeah,
they
definitely.
Are working. And then she says, okay, well, we need to patent them then. You know, and I'm just like most people, you know, like, patents only cover
10%. So how far along were you when you wanted to do patent?
Maybe a year.
Close to maybe a year.
You guys were a year into the bait?
A year into the bait. Before, that's when we kind of noticed, like, wow. And we started starting to sell a lot, you know, and stuff. Uh-huh. And people, you know, have the same reaction that we had to them, you know, catching fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, yeah, we need to get a patent. And I'm like, I don't know if people patent stuff. And she goes, well, we're patenting it.
Okay.
That's just her business way of doing things. And
makes know, sense. You're like a consultant. Yeah, you know,
show,
you know,
tell me how you found the patent.
Well, I mean, you know, you can certainly go online and file a patent. It's really easy. Yeah. And seeing the reaction, not just myself, of being someone who only fished live bait. And actually, as this was moving along, Chad's like, okay, you can't fish anything but hookup baits. I thought, gosh, I really like this guy, but if I can't fish any more live bait, wow. But he's right. I mean, I've never gone back, and it's so easy to fish the bait. So I knew that we had something very special, and so I wanted to research. So I'm similar to Al, Chad's tournament partner. I research a ton of things. Mm-hmm. So I researched all of the patent law firms in San Diego, and I found one that had a senior partner who was an avid fisherman. Yes. And also the firm has multiple locations, and they do large corporate patents. So we, you know, put a little box together. We went to the law firm. We walked in. We're like, oh, my gosh, we can't afford this. This is way too fancy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the office was just amazing in Del Mar. And so we get there, and we're with the senior partner and a couple of associates, and Chad has his box. And we're very upfront with him and say, you know, we're pouring everything we have into this company.
Yeah.
We can't afford, you know, hours and hours. If you don't think this is really worth something patenting, it's okay. You're not going to hurt our feelings. Just say, you know what, we've seen this before, or da, da, da. I mean, this is something they do all the time. Yeah. And when Chad, you know, opened the box and started explaining how it works, and that senior partner took that and he said, oh my gosh, you guys, you have a winner. We got to do this. And so from that point, they have filed our design patent, which we have had approved. We have another utility and a design patent pending that are probably going to be out here in the next couple of months. Yeah. So we have really, you know, put a lot of effort in preserving Chad's designs. Yeah. Yes.
And the patents are not cheap.
If you don't mind me asking, what is the patent of? So there's a couple other baits that look like yours. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention names, but they look exactly like yours. And the patent doesn't seem to bother them much. No. You know, so what if you could explain to people what your patent is actually holding? That would be really helpful.
Yeah.
You know, so like if it's holding the swim, if it's holding the head, the hook, what is it actually?
It's basically all of that. It's that we got a super strong, the cut.
Okay.
The angles of the cut, the type of cut, the type of head, eyeballs under plastic, and then the design and the action of the bait.
That's a big patent. Yeah, that's a
big book. I mean, we were surprised when we got back.
Yeah, I went there for like a patent, thinking I was going to get a folder back.
Yeah.
They gave me like a catalog of my patent back.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's awesome. It's a very strong patent, and you know, we paid a lot of money for it. And this is our baby. This is, you know, me and JoJo don't have kids together. Hookup baits is our baby, and we're going to protect it.
Definitely.
And it's just good business. That's what we do. So
definitely. That's really cool. You guys could do that. I mean, if you make it something you think that's going to work really good, and you know,
You got to protect it.
Yeah.
That's what we've been told by people that we, you know, that do consulting for us. That's been in the industry. You know, if you can afford a patent, make it a good one, because you know, fishing industry copies. That's what they do.
Yeah. Because the patent so much, I've heard you got to like really spend a lot of money to like, fishing people don't want to spend that. The companies don't want to spend that, but.
Well, and there's two different patents. There's a design patent and there's a utility patent. Mm-hmm. So the design patent says, does it look, does it feel, does the consumer think it's one and the same?
Yes.
Okay. If that is any of those, then you have infringed on the design patent.
Mm-hmm.
The utility patent is, how is it made? From start to finish, the tools, the cuts, the applications, et cetera. So they're two different.
So did you get both patents or one?
We have the design patent. We do have the design patent.
The design patent is how you build it.
The look of it.
And then what's the second patent?
The utility patent.
You don't have that yet?
We talked to the lawyer on the way here this morning.
Yeah, we were awfully close.
Okay, so you're working on a utility and you have a design.
And then we filed another design patent.
Okay.
So
to cover other ideas.
I
have a quick question for you. Have you thought about weedless yet?
Oh, yeah.
I've tried to make a weedless one, and it didn't work. I tried it multiple times, I mean, just dipping tubes, you know, like making tubes like anyone else, you know, like if you could find a weedless one, man,
that's the future of hookah baits. Yeah. Once we figure out how to keep up demand, there's every kind of hookah bait you can imagine that I've already designed. There's weedless hookah baits. There's topwater hookah baits.
It's amazing.
There's the tricolor hookah baits. There's so many different hookah baits you don't even know. Making a hookah bait is a 10-step process.
Okay, yeah.
And they're very labor intensive, and that's what makes them do the magic they do. Mm-hmm. And it was just they just aren't poured, and you put a lead head in, and you're done.
Well, and Chad designed the tools that he uses.
Yeah,
and everything's very unique how that design and that shape is.
Awesome. I mean, that's it, man.
We have 20 employees now, and every single one of them, half of them are fishermen that used hookup baits before, and they come in, they see the process, and they go, oh my gosh, I never had a clue that there's this much into making these baits. I'm like, oh yeah. That's everyone thinks it's half or even quarter of what it actually is to make a hookup bait.
Definitely. I agree with you 100%. With a lot of success, you get a lot of hate. How do you deal with that? I mean, I want to know how you guys handle it, because I'm not a spotlight person. And you only get 20 people listening to this, so. But how do you handle
haters? It's a process, and we don't consider them haters.
Okay.
They're critics.
All right.
You can't hate a person you've never talked to or met or shook a guy's hand or know who they are. You get, if you meet me and talk to me for a couple minutes and you still hate me, okay, hate me.
Yeah.
But if you've never known me and never talked to me, know nothing about me and hate me, you're a critic. You're not a hater.
Yeah.
So that's, we look at them as critics because none of them know us. No one, know who we are.
Yeah, definitely.
We do nothing but positive. When we started this business, we wanted to make hookup baits personal. And it's maybe one of our faults that we did with our business is, most, 90% of the baits out there you use, try to get a hold of the owner. There's no owner.
Yeah.
You have no idea. The guy could be the biggest crook on the planet. You're buying his baits.
Yeah.
But you don't know who he is.
Exactly.
We made hookup baits personal. You know exactly who the owners are. We're right there. Mm-hmm. Here we are. We're hookup baits. Some people are people that consult us through this process and say, no, that's not how you do business.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we're doing business. It's, we're going to be different. We're going to make us personal.
Yeah.
And we're going to let people know who hookup baits is. So if you're using hookup baits and you need help, write me a message. It's me that's helping you, And so part of that is what made a lot of it. Some of the haters come, and after the first year and a half or so, when we started getting more successful and stuff, we started seeing negativity stuff. And me and Joe decided, we do nothing but positive. We know that we do nothing but good for the fishing industry.
Yeah.
We make a bait that anybody can catch fish on.
Mm-hmm.
And we are huge with CCA and all these other people that just support fishing, sport fishing and the industry and everything else. So people are hating on us for no reason. So why do we even have to know about it?
Yeah.
And so we hired a firm, that's what we're needing anyways to make our website, we used to, doing it ourselves or getting
everything,
a website, college kid, video, that was doing
media,
it before,
everything. Yeah.
But now it was time to go a little bit more big time.
Yeah.
So we hired a social media firm to redo our website and everything else. And part of that was says, make sure we don't see any hate. And so everything that's negative or mean or hateful that comes across social media, it's blocked and deleted before me and Jojo ever even see it.
And that's nice. Negative to the company, negative to us personally, to our Hookup Baits family, to our Groms. I mean, that is not good for the fishing industry.
No, it's just toxic. So
and the Groms thing, we'll get on that in a minute, but that's really amazing. Like to do something with kids like that, some kids could never get on a boat, but we'll touch base on that a little bit. But if you could finish the hate,
it's
super cool for you guys to blow it off. I mean, we
get people like you. How do you deal with that?
Yeah.
We don't see it. We if it's negative, we don't have it as part of our life. we you know, these our social media people block and delete it before we even see it. So really they're wasting their time. If they're trying to get to us, we don't see it.
So the reason you get a lot of hate is because of some of the issues of your younger life of what happened. I mean, everyone's had a life. Sometimes you made the wrong decisions and, you made a couple wrong decisions when you're younger.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah. And then let's touch base on that and tell us exactly what happened so everyone can hear the truth out of your mouth on an unbiased place.
Yeah. What happened in my history, you know, it's a long story. So we'll just do the short version. You know, I've been fishing and hunting all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then in probably my mid-20s, I got into bow hunting really heavy. Became very good at it. Shot many record book animals. They still hang on. You know, I got number one buck in the state. It's still on my wall today.
Damn, that's great.
And I got the number five buck in the state. I still have that one on my wall.
Yeah.
So did very well with bow hunting. But and it was mainly because my passion. I mean, I was very passionate and very addicted to big antlers, big bucks.
You've been doing bow hunting how long?
I did it for about 17 years.
When did you start? You're like,
I was 22, 23.
Great. Yeah,
okay. I started into it pretty. You know, I've always my stepdad was a fisherman. My real dad was a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since I was young, I'd be quail and dove hunting and rifle hunting with my real dad. But one of my fishing buddies through high school, he went up and visited his uncle in Redding, came home with a bow, and I'm like, oh, that thing's cool.
Let's shoot each other.
And so we started bow hunting, and we got really into it, just addicted to it, and started shooting animals. And then after about 10 years of bow hunting, it just, you know, I got good at it. I could, you know, go hunt and fill a tag at will. And so I started trophy hunting, and just I only shot bucks that were bigger than the year before. Well, then when you shoot number one in the state, you know, it's like, oh, you know, and it's you know, you start pushing the boundaries.
And what year did you shoot number one?
Oh, shoot. I don't even know what it was. It was, well, when I got in trouble was 11 years ago. And it's probably 2 or 3 years before that. So.
Okay, so 14.
Yeah, 14 years ago or so. And, you know, it's the number one. There's three different species of deer in California. Mm-hmm. You got blacktails, mule deer, and the Pacific hybrids. Pacific hybrids is the deer that live in our area, from San Francisco to Mexico.
Yeah.
That's the number one. That species of deer is what I had number one and number five in. And so once I got the number one that deer, I wanted to shoot a number one of mule deer. And, you know, I think I had one that was like number 10 or 15 mule deer in the books. So I wanted to see if I can get a number one Pacific hybrid and number one mule deer.
Yeah.
And for years, I was shooting some nice deer and stuff, and then just pushing the boundaries, looking for that bigger buck. We packed in one day at, you know, the opening of deer season up in the Sierras, X-12, which is Bridgeport, from Mammoth to Bridgeport area. Virginia Lakes, you know, or Virginia Lakes by Bridgeport. We hit the trailhead right there, went up into the mountains, and we basically lived up there for 7 days. With what we can pack in on our back. I mean, this hardcore hunting is, you know, living for 7 days in the mountains, just what you can live on that you can carry on your back. That's what this trip was. And, you know, I don't know, most people know the top of the Sierra Nevada mountains, one side is Yosemite Wilderness, one side's Mono County.
And that's pretty much the MLPA.
Well, that's the MLP of the hunting world, I guess.
If you want to talk about compared to fishing to that's the boundary line.
Yeah. And it's
you can't count here, you can
you got Yosemite Park, which is Yosemite Park, but then you have Yosemite Wilderness, which is what you kind of said it perfectly. It's an MLPA of the mountains. You know, and then throughout the week we're hunting both sides of the mountains. We're above timberline, 11,000 feet, and you know, I end up shooting a really nice deer and then got in trouble for it and broke the law. That's basically what it comes down to. And it got publicized and, you know, I got in a lot of trouble. And, you know, hey, I'm sorry for what I did. It was a bad decision. It was my big mistake of my life. I paid the price. All fines and everything else was paid long ago. And, you know, it was a mistake that I'm deeply sorry that I did. Yeah, you know, I lost my right to go bow hunting. Bow hunting is my passion.
So you, you can't bow hunt anymore?
No, that like 3 years ago, I can start bow hunting.
How long did they take it away from you, if you don't mind?
For 10 years they took.
Oh, fuck, man.
Well, they took it for 5 years anywhere in the country, 10 years in
California.
How
long do they bust you if you get caught from LPA?
I don't even know.
I'm just wondering, because I'm wondering what the fine would be if I got caught, say, if I wanted to float into the MLPA and caught. Would it be like $1,000 fine and I can never fish for 10 years?
Well, see, I don't know, because how up there how it happened is because it was government land.
Uh-huh.
So I got charges of government and then regular charges, regular fishing game
charges.
Oh, so
you got double.
And then government charges. So it's kind of double. I don't know if they do the MLPAs the same way.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
it's kind of weird. But
I think it's really cool that for you to come on here and talk about it. And we appreciate it. Well, like me and Justin, it's super cool, man, to like... You get hate, and you did something when you were younger, man, and it happened, and there's nothing you could really do about it, and you're trying to move forward.
We all make mistakes. That was mine, and, you know, it was a big mistake. Yeah, I paid for it, they didn't take my fishing rights, you know. They took the hunting, but I was still able to fish. I went to 100% fishing after that, and that's what brought me to where I am today.
Great.
And, you know, it's just, you know, I got in trouble and, you know, it was
trying to move forward.
And then when we became hookup baits and hookup baits started being successful, we kind of took hookup baits in the path we did of giving back and getting kids into it. And, you know, so much we do for conservation of fishing and for the sport of sport fishing with CCA. And we part of the tagging programs and broodstock programs with CCA and that kind of stuff. And then just giving back to veterans, getting veterans on the water and kids on the water. All that is my way of giving back for the mistake I made 11 years ago.
That says a lot about who Chad is.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have never, though I thought he was really cute and I liked
him. Well, you're number four compared to number one, right?
Well, I moved up.
You moved up the list after you wanted to start hookup baits.
You know, and I liked his line dancing and all of the, and his smile. You know, Chad was nothing but upfront with me about what he did in his past. And that was way before I ever met him. And, you know, yes, I saw the gleam in his eye of being so excited about this bait.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to. I mean, we were fairly new and going out. He didn't have to tell me about this, but he was completely upfront about it. And he said, you know, I made a terrible mistake and I'm sorry. And I want to do this, not just because I believe in the bait I can make, but I want to make up for this. I mean, that was 3.5 years ago he said this. And he's done that every day getting up.
Which brings us to the Grom of the Month. That's for me, that's like super, super cool, man.
Yeah.
To take some kids that can't fish on big boats. Yeah. Maybe they flip docks all day long let's talk about that.
You know, it's after, you know, it never gets old seeing people catching fish on hookup baits.
Even
more so with kids.
Yeah.
Nice seeing kids catching their PB halibut, PB bass, and everything else on hookup baits, and they're so excited to show me and tell me about it and stuff. I'm like, after so many of these, I'm like, I need to do something for these kids. They give me so much joy in showing me what they catch on my baits. I need to do something for them. Yeah. And I just woke up one morning and I was like, Grom of the Month. I'm going to take a kid fishing every month. Well, actually, not even a kid fishing, a kid and as many of his buddies as I can fit on my boat comfortably.
Man, that's awesome.
Every month.
So when they win Grom of the Month, they get to bring a couple friends with them?
Up to five people. You know, me, so they bring four people with them.
What if my kid won?
Absolutely.
Can I come?
The dads, the dads are just as stoked as the kid most of the time.
That's it. I have three chances to push my kids on it.
Yeah, so all they need to do is make a post. They don't even need to have to catch a fish. Just show that they're out fishing. That's one thing. Make sure we get kids out fishing.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, they're not sitting on their phone,
video games.
You know, no Instagram, no Xbox,
and all that stuff, or playing games. Just to show that they're out actually fishing.
Yeah.
And in their posts, do #, Grom of the Month. That's all they need to do. So at the end of the month, I just, you know, search Grom of the Month, and I write those kids down on a list. You know, and they only get one entry per month.
Then you do a random,
and then I put them in a bucket and draw the name, and that kid, you know, gets to go fishing with me, you know, for full sun up to sundown, unlimited amount of baits supplied, JoJo makes the most amazing lunches ever. And yeah, and then we fish. Zero charge. Just the best day of fishing. My whole goal.
That's a really big way to give back. I'll give you that. I mean, that's...
Today, just this year, since January, we have 18 kids and 8 dads so far we took out fishing.
Wow.
With this program. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome. And the majority of them has caught in their PB, calico sand bass, spotted bait bass. Yeah. You know, so that's my whole goal, is get their 3 PBs, you know, every time I take them out. So... Yeah, it's been pretty awesome. And just watching the stoke on their face when they're catching these fish and having the best day of fishing of their life is just, I tell JoJo every month, that's my best day of fishing every month.
Yeah.
That day.
And I can't wait for, you know, when he comes home, I can hardly wait to hear what they caught and see the pictures and also to see Chad so excited. I mean, and that's every day he goes fishing, but especially when he's taking these young kids out.
And that's what we kind of want to make it all about, is kids and family. I mean, we have people on and talk to guests about, you know, their mess ups, fun, being idiots, being a real person, you know? And I think it's super cool that you do that. Like, that's one thing that me and Justin both think.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of accolades from people.
Yeah, definitely.
People in the industry for what we do with the Grom program, you know. Yeah. And we've had companies jump on, Fishworks. You know, not only do they get a day of fishing with me, when they just show up, they get a gift bag of a Fishworks shirt, a Fishworks hat, Dink Squad buff.
Yeah, good know, old, what's up, Whack'em Fishing.
Yeah,
Whack'em yeah, Fishing. Yeah, there you go, my boy.
They contributed to the Grom program. And then, you know, I went to an Angler Clothing, did some shirts. You know,
oh, Angler, is it, they're out of Temecula, Angler, is it Angler Fishing?
Yeah, they're down by us.
Yeah.
Angler Clothing.
Yeah, they're super cool guys again. Yeah,
they did some shirts for a while. It got real hard to figure out what size shirts we need and stuff
so that kind of we do the same thing.
Hard. Shirts are hard because the sizes are all different and everything else. Yeah. Buffs are easy.
Yeah. You know?
So that's when Dink Squad, when he contacted me, I said anything but shirts. And he said, "Oh, we can do buffs." I'm like, "Perfect."
Yeah, he's got some. If you guys want to get some good buffs, John from Dink Squad has some real nice ones.
And then, who else? Oh, on Fish Groms.
Yes.
Yeah, they did shirts for a while too.
Great, so, man.
But they, you know, they gave us those fish holders and stuff. Like, I got a couple of those on my boat for the kids. You know, so it's funny. You try to get them used to that, and they're like, "No, I want to tear my thumb up." I'm like, "Why you want to tear your thumb? Oh, it's cool to have a torn up thumb." Okay, whatever.
You should have seen my son caught that big sand bass. I'm like, "You better lip that fucking thing." And he's like, "No, it hurts." I'm like, "I don't care. I want a picture of you." And he's holding it all funny, like it doesn't look cool because it hurts him so bad. I'm like, "I don't care. You're 14 years old. You're holding that fish."
You learn after a while. You catch bass. You
got to get that.
Four times a week. You learn not to lip them too much, actually. You want to use your fingers.
Yeah, especially spotties, man. They'll cut you up.
But we'd love to have more people jump on. We welcome anyone that want to be part of the Grom program. The more we can give these kids when they get chosen Grom of the Month, the better, you know. So,
It's also nice to, you know, get emails from parents of what this means to the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And grandparents. And knowing what we're doing is make an impact for just not the Grom, but also their family and their friends. And, you know, they're bringing a friend with them. And so that's kind of cool that they get to select the friend or friends or the dad that comes along. So, you know, it's
the letters from the relatives on just seeing how excited and hearing about, you know, the kid telling his grandpa or grandma about his trip. You know, then the
grandparents when that boy catches his PB with his dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much more can you ask for?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So, I mean, that program, you know, and it's kind of sucks. These people that don't like hookup baits for a reason, some reason or another, started picking on the Groms. You know, that's kind of
weird. That's not cool. If you guys do that, go fuck off.
Right?
Don't pick on the kids, dude. Yeah. Really.
Yeah, so
if you
want to
hate
cool.
someone, whatever, you know, like Chad's an adult, he'll take it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, but the kids don't.
See it.
Hey.
But yeah, but the kids. Yeah. Leave the kids alone.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Definitely.
So you. You did your first tournament, right, recently?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Hookup Baits tournament.
Yeah.
That was that was really cool. We've been being asked by Hookup Bait supporters, we need to do a Hookup Bait tournament, We're kind of like, it's a lot of work and this kind of, you know. We've been being asked by just supporters to do it for a while, but then one of our sponsors, Mossy Nissan of El Cajon, sponsored us for our tournament fishing, and they asked us to do a tournament.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they offered a bunch of money for prize money and doing the shirts and everything else. And we're like, oh, perfect. Yeah. Well, I guess it's time to do a tournament.
That's awesome.
And, you know, and we threw the whole thing together real quick. You know,
we needed about 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. We, with the San Diego Anglers, you know, we're very tight with San Diego Anglers. They're our home club. You know, we're also members of San Diego Rod and Reel, but San Diego Anglers, though, is the biggest spotted bay bass tournament, or not a spot, but bay tournament in California, or at the East Coast, but West Coast, I mean. You know, so they know about putting tournaments on. They do a lot of tournaments, so they helped us a lot with scheduling and putting it together and all the things you need to know.
We could have not done it without the support we had. I mean,
Jerry Mayhew helped us some, and Norm Campbell.
We had a phenomenal group because we have never done this before.
Yeah.
We wanted to do it right. And the most important thing is we wanted to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, just come out and have fun.
And the biggest thing, what made it so hard, is we wanted to include everybody.
Yeah.
How many did you guys talk about it? I'm sorry, I went to the bathroom, guys. How many contestants? So, like, shore, boat.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about that?
That's the thing. We had shore anglers. We had rock and dock, basically shore and docks. Then we had kayak and float tube, paddleboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had boat division, you know, motorized boat division.
And how many in each? Do you remember how many you had in each division?
Well, when we talked to, you know, like we said, we put the word out. We're going to do a hookup baits tournament to people in the industry. And also, we just got helped by everybody. It was very cool to how much people helped us with this.
Yeah.
And first thing they said, you got way too many divisions. And we're like, but we need to include everybody.
This is
what we're about. We include everybody. And they're like, okay, well, you know, let's just give it a go. You know, and we did, what was it, 12 and under?
Yes.
And then teenagers, and then we did adults, then with the three different, you know, fishing style people. And that was the hardest part, setting all that up. But but because it was our first one and our time limit, they said, all right, you need to give it a shut off where you get this many people joined and you need to turn it off. And that was 100 anglers. And then so we put it out there, and it within about 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks,
about a week and a half.
Yeah. We hit 100 anglers.
Wow.
But it was, most of them were in boats. The motorized boats.
Yeah,
so the motorized boat division just filled up, you know, and we did it as a up to 4-man team on boat.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of boats had 3 and 4 guys. So that ate up a lot of the anglers.
Yeah.
They're like, shoot, well, now there's only, you know, 10 in the kayak and there's only 5 on shore. And so we closed it. But when people messaged us, what division are you looking to do? Oh, kayak or shore. You know, so we let more people in that were fishing the divisions that didn't fill up so fast, you know, kind of thing.
Sure,
and kids were unlimited.
Yeah.
If you're
as many kids that wanted to come.
If you're under 12.
If you're under 17 and under.
17 and under, wow.
That's awesome. They can sign up the day up. Anyway, that's the thing. We want to make sure as many kids as possible could fish this tournament. So kids were unlimited. It's just we limited it to 100 adult anglers. So
what was the prizes for the people that won?
Shimano came through big time.
Ooh, some Traxxas are there or no?
I don't know. All spinning, you know, that's the Shimano has me on there with them is for their spinning stuff. You know, that's what I promote is the spinning stuff. So they gave us 3 Terramar West Coast rods, the same rods my number one rod I use every week. They gave me 3 of those, and then they gave me 1 Saragossa 5,000,
that's
a $300-something reel, and then just one step down from those, the Saros or something like that. You know, they're funny names again.
Yeah.
But he gave me 2 5,000. They're just one step down from the Saragossa. I mean, so each one of these setups are, you know, $300 to $500. They gave us those, and then they gave us visors and hats and shirts and you know,
and
fishing gear. And
Dana Landy Dana Landy and East County Bait and Tackle gave us gift cards. And I mean, each raffle prize, the average was about $250 to $350 per raffle prize.
Cool.
And that's not counting the polls and so forth. So, I mean, sponsors just absolutely stepped to the plate.
Yeah. And plus, Mossy Nissan, like I said, they offered cash money.
Yeah, it was guaranteed cash money no matter what you were going to win. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's unheard of.
Yeah,
that was really important to Mossy Nissan El Cajon.
Our good friend Norm Campbell, which is really known down in the San Diego area, he went around to all the tackle shops, said, here, we're doing hookup baits, you know, and part of the proceeds go to CCA. That's the other thing. You know, we didn't want to make a dime off of this tournament.
Yeah, I hear you.
We did it for our supporters,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
and for the kids. So we didn't want to make a dime. So we did all proceeds go to CCA California and Warriors on the Water. So, wow. So, you know, Norm, which is part of CCA, say, hey, we're having this hookup baits tournament, whether you like them or not, they're doing this tournament and its proceeds are going to CCA. So all these tackle shops just gave all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, that's the raffle was huge. Man. The prizes were huge.
Well, even in the live video, having kids is very important to Norm in the tournament as well. He offered any child or any Grom 17 and younger that did not have the money, which was $20, and then $20 for the jackpot. If you didn't have the money,
he'd pay for you.
He'd pay for you.
Cool. Amazing guy, man. That's super
Norm
cool.
Norm is awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
But then CCA, Wayne Cotto, with CCA, is a dear friend of ours, and you know, they helped a lot. They did all the MCN and the setup. You know, they do events constantly. So,
and Tarantino Sausage. I don't know if you ever had them at Costco. Great, great family-based company. Uh-huh. And they stepped to the plate and donated all of the Italian sausages and breakfast sausage.
Oh, you guys had like some
grill going. Yeah, there's all the food you could ever eat. Yeah. It turned into a really big deal. It pulled off in a time limit we had was just,
you know. Yeah,
it just makes you feel good that the purpose of this was to give back. And there was so many people that stepped the plate without hesitation of, I'm here, what do you need? You need shirts, you need hats. Yeah. You know, what is it that we can give to get more money for these two great organizations?
Yeah.
And that's just what melted our hearts, is how many people stepped to the plate. Even when we didn't ask, they were there calling us saying, hey, we heard about the tournament. Is it too late to get in? What can we do?
Yeah.
That's
totally cool. We could have had 200 acres easily. Wow. And hopefully that's what we can open it up to next
year. So you're trying to do something different next year? Is there something else coming up?
Well, we'll have more time to plan it.
Yes. So. Yes. Let's do that.
Are you going to do one a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, the boss answered before you did.
right after that tournament, the people hit me up for doing another type of tournament. I forgot what it was, but you know, and it made me think, oh, maybe we should do that. Mm-hmm. It was a toy drive. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. So they hit me up to doing a toy drive tournament.
That's soon, though. That's another month.
Right after this tournament, I'm like, oh.
It's too much. Yeah.
So
if we talk about your bait, there's a couple people, a lot of people have questions about replacement bodies. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that one first. Why don't you think you can make a replacement body?
Part of the biggest request we have is, you know, the replacement bodies. And it's, you know, we know that it would be good business for us to make replacement bodies. We would make money at it. But, you know, we can sell a replacement body and make money, but it's not going to get bit like a finished hookup bait. And that's, you know, you hear anybody talk about hookup baits. Oh, hookup baits get bit, but it's this. Hookup baits get bit, but that's the first thing they always say.
Yeah.
They get bit.
Yeah. But.
After. But. That they get bit is what's most important to us. And that's what makes hookup baits what it is, they get bit. They get bit. And part of that replacement body, if we do replacement bodies, it skips three steps of what makes that bait get bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Once you put the baits together, it's not finished. There's three more steps after putting that lead head in that bait to make it do what it does. So you would either we put the baits together, do those three steps, and then take them back apart, which would make too much labor.
So
would be the same cost as a finished bait.
And it's too hard for people to... They're going to put it back and be like,
your process.
But then also loading, you know, people say, what's so hard about putting a lead head in a bait? Well, if that lead head isn't put in the right way, I mean, there's the alignment of it, how far it goes in, all that stuff. Is it not done right? It's just like a swim bait. If you put a swim bait on a lead head wrong, it don't get bit.
Yeah.
You put a hookup bait on a lead head wrong, it's not going to get bit. I mean, we don't do it because, you know, we want people to buy new baits or whatever. Yeah. We would make money off of selling replacement baits.
Yeah.
But they won't get bit. It's an unfinished
product.
You feel
like it degrades the quality of the company, like the standard you want to keep.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
So, okay.
If you sell replacement tube bait, you know, that's like a hookup bait, it's an unfinished bait.
I get what you're going to sell. I get if you don't, like, to me, it's like if you don't want to pay for something, don't buy it. If you do like it, I mean, they get bit, I'll give you that, you know, like 100%, man.
Yeah.
But other anglers might say, hey, these hooks suck, or these hooks. Yeah.
And that came from early on. Yeah, it's still when we're developing the baits. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first started making the baits, I was, you know, keeping cheap, just buying whatever hook I can buy, buying Eagle Claws and the cheaper Mustads, whatever I can get my hands on. Then once we noticed we had a quality bait, it needs a quality hook.
Yeah.
You know, so I looked at, you know, Gumagatsu, Mustad, and Owner. And we contacted those three companies, you know, said, you know, what, give us prices on baits.
Yeah.
Owner came back with the best service. They came back the quickest. And so we went with Owners. You know, all quality hooks are all quality. I mean, you go with three big, you know, Gumagatsu, Mustad, and Owner, all quality hooks. They're all pretty much going to perform the same. But they had the best customer service. So we went with Owner hooks. And that was
Does the lead head get poured in-house too with the Owner?
Yeah, we pour our own lead too. Yeah, so the only thing we buy is, you know, the eyeballs we buy from someone else, is eyeballs, and then we buy the hooks from, you know, from Owners, straight from Owners. And so we went with Owner hooks. When I first started pouring some of the smaller baits, you know, the trout bait, the hookup baits started with the trout baits.
Yeah.
And then it went to the medium-sized baits. Then it started going to the big baits. And so when I started making those bigger baits, I used the same hook, which is the fine wire hook for the trout baits.
Yeah.
They make them up to like 2-aught or 3-aught. Mm-hmm. So I use the same fine wire hooks for the mediums and the larges, you know, first.
Yeah.
And once I, you know, we made, you know, thousands with that fine wire hook. And then once I've noticed that, you know, people will either complain or I noticed, they're bending. We need bigger hooks. Mm-hmm. So I went up to the one time strong hook on the large hook, on the large baits, the 5/8 and 3/8. And then it's still the fine wire on the mediums. And then notice people, you know, hooking big halibut on the mediums and stuff and days and stuff. Definitely. So that I upped the hook on the 1/4 ounce that we use to one time strong. And then still had people having problems with the one time strong on the 5/8 and straight out. So then I jumped it up to the 2-time strong, mm-hmm. you know, and they're now, that's the strongest hook that Owner makes. And that size is 2-time strong. The big game baits are 3-time strong. That's the strongest hook that
and
Owner
that,
makes.
How heavy is that? Heavy is the lead head.
Well, that's the 1 ounce and the 1.5 are the 3-time strong hooks. You can't bend those hooks. They're gnarly hooks. I mean,
I've tried them.
And really, even from the fishing from the beginning, the light hooks all the way through, I've lost one big calico in the kelp that wrapped me in kelp, and the hook broke. And then I had about a 50-pound bluefin on that'll last gaff on a 5/8 jig that when it was a 1-time strong hook. Mm-hmm. And that was actually the fish that maybe go up to the 2 times.
Yeah.
I've only lost 2 fish because of the hook.
Wow.
And all the other hooks that I have ever bent or broke are because you're snagged.
Yeah.
You know, the different pressure gets, you know, when you're snagged on a rock or something, the pressure is on the tip of the hook. It gives it leverage. It snaps or breaks. Mm-hmm. Well, most likely you're going to snap that bait off anyway if you're snapping the hook on a snag. Yeah. So at least you got the bait back. You can use it a replacement skirt or something. But as a fish, it hooks when you hook a fish, it's the pressure's on the barb or in the bend of the hook.
Yeah.
You know, it's on the bend where it's supposed to be, in the bend. You don't bend hooks on fish unless it's hooked right in the bone and it's not, and all the pressure's on the tip, you know, and if it's that kind of pressure, it's probably not past the barb anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
You're probably going to end up losing the fish one way or another anyway. You know, so it's the problems with hooks have been resolved over 2 years ago. There is no problem with the hooks. I fish these baits 365 days a year, you know, and it's only that, honest to God, since we started hookup baits, I have not tied a different thing on any rod, no matter where we went. Since then, I've used exclusively freshwater, saltwater, Florida, British Columbia, Cabo hookup baits. This is the only thing that I've been tied on, and I have not had problems with hooks over the last 2 years. So
good to hear.
The hooks is not an issue. Don't believe it. There's no issue, and Owner makes great hooks. So,
on your gear, you brought some gear today, and we filmed it. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what you brought.
It's just our typical setups. Braided line to fluorocarbon is a staple. Mm-hmm. You know, these baits get bit because the fish think it's a live bait. You know, it's not a reaction bait. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like that. the action of the bait and the look of the bait is very natural. And so they're eating it because it's a live thing. They think it's uh-huh. the red crab is a red crab. They think the bait fish, all the yeah. bait fish ones are bait fish. They're eating it because they think it's alive to the real yeah. thing. So it's very important to fish them like the real thing with fluorocarbon line, as mm-hmm. light as you can kind of get away with, and let the bait do its thing, you know?
Yeah.
So everything we fish is on, you know, with bays, we fish 20 pound braid, mm-hmm. Power Pro Super Slick is the best braid I've found. And Bright, it's all line watching, a lot mm-hmm. of line watching. If you learn to line watch, you're going to yeah. that's our whole slogan. Don't blink on the sink.
Yeah.
You're watching that line yeah. and don't blink. Once you see that tick on that line, you yeah. set the hook, you're going to hook that fish every time. You know? So that's the whole blink on this. Don't blink on the sink
yeah,
thing.
Definitely.
So Bright, Ivis Yellow Power Pro Super Slick. Like I said, bays 20 pound, mm-hmm. our normal bass and yellowtail stuff is 30 pound. Then my heavy structure, you know, bigger fish, 50 pound. That's all you really need. Three rods. When I go on
that's
a boat,
nice, yeah.
I bring three rods. I bring a small, medium, large. 20, 30, 50.
Great.
And then a 20 of the leader in the bays, I fish 20 to 12,
mm-hmm.
you know, floral leader.
Definitely.
And then, you know, I don't ever go lower than 12. I mean, just last weekend, I was killing them on 25 in San Diego Bay. So I don't
yeah.
really think if you're using fluorocarbon, as long as, and that's the whole thing I've noticed with fluorocarbon, you got to keep it clean.
Yeah.
The fluorocarbon does yeah. work. I mean, yeah. the whole invisible thing of all that,
yep.
it does work. We've tested it on our double rigs.
Yeah.
You know, regular mono and fluorocarbon. Fluorocarbon does get bit more. It
yeah.
does that, what it says it does, the invisible thing, it works. But once that line starts getting scuffed up, that it turns into mono.
Yeah.
You got to keep it clean.
Yeah, they
that's
can
the
see
whole
it,
thing.
Yeah.
And so when you're using clean fluorocarbon, out catching spotties on 25 and it didn't seem to matter,
wow.
you know, so.
And then another question, this might help people out that fish hookup bait, is explain the double rig. Because
yeah.
it's like a donkey rig, but you're using
yeah,
a
donkey, yeah.
kind of different swivel.
Yeah, it is a donkey rig. I played, you know, once I started doing the double rig, and you know, that was the whole, you know, calico bass fishing, everybody's done it. You reel up in a calico and you got five chasing it, and usually the five chasing it are
yep.
bigger than the one you're catching. And I'm like, oh man, if I just had another bait there. You know, and then also it's, you know, part of what happens with a hookup bait, especially when they're calico fishing, when they're mm-hmm. following like that.
Yeah.
I've watched it happen many times where, you know, you got the bass following them, so you stop reeling and you try to see what these bass are doing, and they're taking that bait out of that fish's mouth. And I've watched it happen right in front of my eyes three times.
Yeah.
Where that bait's sitting on the edge of that, in the corner of that fish's mouth, and the yeah. other bass bites it and pulls the skirt right off the head. So when you catch a bass.
Yeah.
And it just has the lead head. That bait didn't happen. That body of that bait didn't disappear by that
yeah.
fish that you're catching. It was from another bass trying to steal that bait out of them. They pulled the skirt right off the bait.
Yeah.
I watched it happen many times. And so I was like, you know, I need to put a different bait there. I'll catch
yeah.
both of those bass,
yeah.
you know, and catch two instead of one. And so I started playing with all these different ways to fish two baits. And, actually, it was Greg Silks, great fisherman. I watched him doing a demonstration on a bass tank at a Paris sportsman event we did,
uh-huh.
and the way he tied it and stuff. And so we did it that way, and it was just the bait, you know, it worked. We started catching two at a time, but it was no swivel and stuff, so
uh-huh.
the baits would twist along. So I started buying three-way swivels and that swivel that slides up and down the line and all that kind of stuff. I played with every way possible
mm-hmm.
of doing two baits there is. And then I came across Owner Swivels, which just happens to be, we're already dealers with
yeah.
Owners. It just worked out awesome. They made the best swivel there is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, you know, I was buying some other swivels. Well, it's two barrel swivels kind of put together.
Yeah, yeah,
I kept
yeah.
having those break. You know, those worked okay too, but they kept breaking because the angle that when you get two fish
on the other side,
yeah, it bends one swivel down and it
yeah.
ends up breaking it. So unless you use like a big, huge one, like 150-pound one,
yeah,
I kept having them break. But these Owner Swivels are just designed really well. They had this little triangle thing mm-hmm. in the middle and then three, you know, ball bearing type swivels and kept it unwrapped. They spun really good. And I haven't had one break. So so that the whole magic is that Owner Swivel.
Are you tying different lines on each side of the swivel or is that?
I typically do, our typical setup is 40 pound above it. And that's one thing I played with. If you do straight braid to the swivel, you'll get tangled up more than
mm-hmm.
if you tie a fluorocarbon or a monoliter above the swivel. It keeps everything stiff and everything lined out.
Yeah.
You lined up so it doesn't tangle. So I do 40-pound fluoro above it. And it's usually if, like, I'm using a rod and, you know, you're short, your leader gets shorter throughout the day. And you only need a foot to three foot. You know, I start with 8 foot. By the end of the day, you got 2 or 3 feet of leader. Yeah. I just use that leader above my swivel. And then I do 225-pound leaders off the bottom of that. And the main thing is they have to be different lengths. You know, because these baits are zigzagging and swimming around each other. You know, the whole how these baits sink.
They're just like a donkey rig, kind of like, like on a sink. Yeah,
they'll sink and they'll swim around and look like two fish just chasing each other around and stuff. I mean, it's very cool, very natural. It gets a hit on the drop.
Cool looking,
but then when you start reeling it and giving it, you know, popping it, they, you know, zigzag back and forth, you know, crossing. So you got to have the leader lengths, two different lengths, you know, usually about 4 to 6 inches difference. So they're not crashing into each other because they'll end up hooking each other almost every time if you don't have them spaced apart.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
As long as you're using an owner swivel and two different length leaders, it's tangle free, and you'll catch two bass just as often as you catch one bass. But then also what that double rig, what I've learned is when you fish rockfish, you know, these hookup baits absolutely destroy rockfish. It is just, I mean, they catch bass, they catch rockfish just as good. So we've been doing a lot of shallow water rockfish, you know.
And what do you suggest for that?
2 1.5s. So you're at 3 ounces, and it actually, it does make a difference. You do 2 1.5s, so you really, it's like dropping 3 ounces.
Yeah.
It really sinks like a 3 ounce bait.
Wow. Yeah.
And so you get two, you know, smaller profile baits, 1.5s down where you can get a 3 ounce bait. I mean, it's just immediate. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, and that's the thing is it's, you get 2 1.5s down there. Bring up two rockfish, not like all the time, but it makes it so they, even if you don't bring up two, it's, you got two smaller profile baits down deep where they're going to get bit fast, you know. So
definitely
that double rig is deadly on rockfish.
Yeah.
So, and we've been doing a lot of that, up to 200 feet is no problem with that double rig. So
yeah.
And it's, and the sheephead. I've never seen a bait that catches so many sheephead.
Yeah, I've seen the, how big they are you're catching.
Yeah,
that's,
I got that 24-pounder a couple months ago.
Big,
JoJo just on Sunday caught an 11-pounder.
Yeah, that's huge, man.
Yeah, so, and then, but we've caught plenty of, you know, 15s and 16s and 18s. That just, the rock, the sheephead just eat the baits like they're crazy. But, and another thing I've noticed is when you rockfish, you know, with standard tackle that we've always used for rockfish, you catch rockfish, sometimes a lingcod. Mm-hmm. What I've noticed since using hookup baits for rockfish, we catch yellowtail all the time. We just caught yellowtail, two yellowtail this week, rock fishing, a 24 and an 18 pounder.
That's huge.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's a bycatch of rockfish. When we went to British Columbia, we never had to troll for salmon because we caught our limit every day. Rock fishing with hookup baits.
Wow,
either on the wind up or on the drop down, we caught salmon. And, you know, JoJo caught a 28 pounder just winding it back to the boat. You know, that doesn't happen with any other rockfish tackle.
That's crazy.
You know, that's the big bonus of fishing hookup baits is the bycatch of, you know, yellowtail and white sea bass and the sheephead and the salmon. And it just, depending on where you are, everything eats a hookup bait, so that's an added bonus to rock fishing with a hookup bait, you know. So,
yes. So, if you have any funny stories, like, you the drain plug was out of your boat, or, you know, you'd crashed into a rock, or I don't know, or someone, you know, anything like that.
That's a little funny story that happened with a, you know, the Grommet of the Month, I guess it was a couple months ago. You know, get out there. These kids are all excited, but a lot of times they're nervous.
Yeah.
You know, when they get on the boat with me, and I try to be as cool as I can with them to try to make them not nervous for, you know, their first couple hours are like nervous and stuff, you know? And so we get out there and we start casting. There's a lot of floating kelp around, and I got caught on a floating kelp, you know, and, you know, I trying to get it off there, and I give it a good little pop, and that bait comes flying at me at 100 miles an hour, right? And it's coming right for my
almost
chest.
Catching the eye.
Yeah, it was like my third or fourth cast right when we got out there. And so it's coming flying right at me, and just out of reaction, I caught it right before it hit my chest.
Wow.
Like a ninja, you know? And even the kids
like Captain America over
here. Yeah. Even the Groms were like, wow, that was like a ninja.
This is
like,
how crazy hookup baits is.
So I caught it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. And I went to drop it, and the thing was hooked through my web of my where my middle finger comes out, the web right there, is hooked right through there. Yeah, so I'm going to have to play it cool while I'm trying to rip this bait out of my head and stuff. And, I'm okay. You know, and they're all, bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
And, they're like, oh, I'm fishing with Chad. And first thing Chad does is get hooked through his hand, Yeah, so that was kind of funny. That's something definitely happened this summer. But
well, it's always fun times, man. And yeah. If anyone wants to check your stuff out, they can check. I mean, you guys are everywhere right now.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Southern California tackle shops up north. Where are you guys at?
That's the way we're growing.
You're
right
working
now.
That way right
yeah,
now, okay?
Because they are so phenomenal on lean cod and rockfish that market is growing for us right now. So we're moving our way northward with that. So,
awesome.
Yeah, and it's just it's a passion that I have, and it's it's not so much fishing anymore. Mm-hmm. It's designing. I love designing baits. That's my passion. Is I look at myself as a bait designer now.
Yeah.
More than a fisherman. And then the passion of just making the baits, making them the best we can. I mean, that's first and foremost is quality of the baits. Mm-hmm. Making baits that get bit better than anything. That's my passion right now.
Yeah.
Is just making the true, most productive bait I can best possibly make. It's not really too much for the money at all. It's for the passion of making the best bait, leaving a legacy of the guy that made hookup baits that get bit by everything, and then just helping people catch fish.
That's
and
cool,
making
man.
Fishing fun and getting kids and women, not even the kids, but women. I've gotten more guys calling me saying women, their wife actually likes fishing now because of hookup baits.
I gotta try that.
I get it all the time. It's like, I've been trying to get my wife into fishing for so long, and now they see I show her every time JoJo's catching fish, I show her. And so we go out and we used hookup baits, and she just loves it now. She don't have to pin a fish through the head and don't have to try to catch a fish. And she drops it down and catches a fish. She loves fishing
now. That's great, man.
Yeah, we get that all the time, and that's awesome. That's almost just as good as to get the kids out there, And, like we say, couples that fish together stay together.
Hey, I got to work on that then.
That's true.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it's Rhonda, Sergio's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
She would not fish with Sergio for years, and she started using hookup baits.
No way.
She loves
that's
fishing
awesome,
now.
Man. Yeah, that's really cool.
Good.
Yeah,
she's good too.
That's super cool, man.
If you've seen the recent episode on British Columbia, true passion for how excited Rhonda was is worth watching. I think we watched that just one part about 10 times.
Yeah.
Just so we could see how
excited. I got to take my wife out for sure.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you guys taking the time out to come down here and be on the podcast. I hope people understand your side of the story. You made some different choices when you were younger, and some shit happened to you.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And
it is. It's, I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
It's some people have a bad perception of, who I am. It's just because of that, I guess. I don't know what it is, but, there's some really big people in the industry that are like brothers to me.
Yeah.
And I'd only met through hookup baits. Bill Boyce, Wayne Cotto. I mean, and a lot of known people down in San Diego, they're like brothers. They're like family to us.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen because I'm a dick.
Yeah.
Well, and also I think, we are all human, including myself. And we have all made some type of mistake
A lot of them. I'll tell you that right now.
I have to. And, the bottom line is regardless of the mistake, and you want to learn from it.
Yep.
I don't care how big or how small can you learn from it? Can you be a better person? And move on and try and do better every day.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so I appreciate you having us here and letting us tell our story.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for asking the questions, most people avoid those questions.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to figure out a way to get our kind of side of the story out there. So thanks for asking those questions.
Well, thanks again, guys, for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.